Edson still wasn't free of cholera, but James and I stepped out in faith on our journey to New York and New England. The first night on the road, the child was unable to sleep, and in the morning, he was still extremely ill.
Sister White, you and your family are more than welcome to stay on a few days more. Mark my word, if you go on, you'll surely bury that child by the roadside.
It looks like that. But I believe this is Satan's work to hinder us from traveling. We dare not yield to him.
If we go back, I'll expect the child to die. He can't do worse than die if we go forward. Let's proceed, trusting in the Lord. James, I'm so tired. I'm afraid I'll fall asleep and drop Edson.
Perhaps we should stop now and then so you can nap.
No, no. We have another 80 miles to go before we reach the next meeting place. Hand me that piece of rope in the bottom of the carriage, please.
Here you are.
Well, what do you want with it?
I'm going to tie Edson to my waist. Then if I fall asleep, I won't drop him.
While we traveled, Sarah was caring for our brother Robert in Gorham, Maine. He suffered terribly in the last stages of tuberculosis, but he had found something better than physical health.
Sarah, I must tell you, I've accepted the message of the third angel.
Praise God! I'm so glad, Robert. What brought it about? You'd never listen to the evidences we tried to show you.
I know. After we were disappointed in 1844, I was so discouraged, I let myself be led away. I must have caused you many sad hours.
But now our prayers are answered. How did it happen?
When I became so ill, I began to plead with God for the light of his countenance. Then I began to study your position.
Affliction often leads us to God.
Yes, it's so plain. I've deprived myself of many blessings that I might have enjoyed. I thought James and Ellen were in error. I've felt wrong toward them. I want to see them once more.
They should be here soon now.
Robert, we rejoice to see the happiness on your face.
I'm so glad you came.
It's been a long time since I've seen you so peaceful.
Jesus seems very near, Ellen. My treasure is laid up on high.
We said our final goodbyes to Robert and turned toward home. James and I were in better health than we had known in a long time. James especially found new strength whenever he went out among the people. But now it was time to return to his publishing duties.
Hello, Annie. Are things running smoothly here?
Welcome back, Elder White. Yes, we're now printing more than 2,000 copies of the review every 2 weeks.
And the paper for the youngsters?
The youth instructor is a success. Requests for it are flooding in.
Good. By the way, here's some copy I wrote for it.
Oh, this? When did you find time to write all these stories and lessons on your trip?
Close your mouth, Annie. Don't look so surprised. When we stop by the side of the road for lunch each day, I'd scribble for a while.
What did you do for a desk?
I use my lunch pail or the top of my hat. If you write a little every day, it adds up.
We learned that 2 members had been added to the believers. John Loughborough was converted at meetings conducted by John Andrews. Lumen Maston, the printer, had been healed of cholera in answer to the prayers of the believers. From then on, he followed his conscience and kept the Sabbath. But my brother Robert was not healed.
Ellen, here's a letter for you from your sister Sarah. Maybe it has news about Robert.
Let me see. Oh.
Is he gone?
Yes. Oh, James, he was so good. So good.
In November 1852, Annie Smith was called home by the sickness of her father, who died a month later. About that time, James' brother and sister, Nathaniel and Anna, joined us in Rochester. Anna was an invalid, and Nathaniel was suffering from tuberculosis. He rapidly grew worse.
How are you this evening, Nathaniel?
I can't help but feel better in such a beautiful house like this, with such large, airy rooms.
You're welcome here as long as necessary, both of you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Ellen, I wish you'd make Anna sit down and eat with the rest of the family. There's no need of her sitting by me while I eat.
Your place is set at the table, Anna.
I won't leave Nathaniel till he's finished eating.
I thought by coming here, I could take care of you, Anna. And now, you didn't know you were coming to wait on me.
You're my brother, and I love you, and I'll always take care of you.
As Nathaniel's condition worsened, earnest seasons of prayer were held in his room. He confessed that he had lacked trust in God, but declared that now he was reconciled to his sickness.
God has blessed me much of late. He's forgiven me all my sins. It often seems that if I should reach out my hand, I could embrace Jesus. He's so near.
It's good to hear you talk so, Nathaniel.
Anna, I love you. Come here and let me embrace you.
Oh,
I'm happy. The Lord has blessed me.
Shall I stay and read the Bible to you?
Yes, please, Ellen.
The rest of us will go to our work, then.
Nathaniel, you're very sick. You may die in 2 hours. And unless God interposes, you cannot live 2 days.
Oh, not so soon as that, I think. But I'm ready now. I wandered away from my first conversion and hoped to make a name for myself in the world.
Do you still want that?
No. But it was very hard to give up my expectation. Then, when I came here, it was so hard to be waited on. It seemed to me that the kindness of you all was more than I could bear.
Nathaniel!
No, it's all right. The most important thing now is knowing that God has forgiven all my sins.
Do you still rejoice in the Sabbath?
You know I do. At first, I wasn't willing to acknowledge the light I saw. But the blessings of God was withheld from me until I acknowledged the Sabbath. Then I felt confidence towards God.
I'm glad.
I love the Sabbath now. It's precious to me. I feel reconciled to my sickness. I'll praise the Lord if he can save me through affliction.
A On the evening of May 6, 1853, Nathaniel sat at the supper table, but soon became faint and had to return to bed.
I don't know but what. I am going to die now.
Nathaniel.
Would you ask Alan to come to me?
Nathaniel?
Alan, I'm glad you came. I'm dying.
Nathaniel, dear, trust in God. He loves you, and you love him.
It's hard to die.
Don't be troubled. The Lord won't leave you. Trust in him as a child trusts its parents.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Please, pray for me.
I will. Mighty and kindly Lord, draw near to this loving soul. Give him comfort, and if it is your will.
Nathaniel didn't seem to suffer pain. He did not groan or struggle, but breathed shorter and shorter until he fell asleep in the 22nd year of his life. His death, in addition to so much other sorrow, was a great blow to the whole family, and especially to James, who was already worn down by hard work and anxiety. James soon became gravely ill. We had scheduled a trip to Michigan, with an appointment in Mill Grove, New York, on the way. After prayer, James decided he was well enough to go as far as Elder Cottrell's home in Mill Grove. If he proved too weak, they would cancel the rest of the trip.
Brother White, we didn't realize you were so ill. We're glad you could make it.
Thank you, Brother Cottrell.
Are you sure you're all right?
Actually, I...
James! Elder Cottrell, he's not well. Please.
Brother White, take my arm. Here, let me help you into the bedroom.
Alan, I'm so weak. Must we be driven from the work by bodily infirmities?
God can limit the power of Satan. He may suffer us to be tried in the furnace, but he'll bring us forth purified.
And better fitted for his work.
Alone in a nearby log house, I prayed. And I was assured that the angel of the Lord would journey with us. Although he was so weak, he had to ask Elder Cottrell to buckle the straps on his valise. James was determined, and we started off.
May is a lovely month for traveling, Ellen. The countryside's bright with flowers, and the air is warm enough for comfort.
And best of all, you're getting stronger with each mile we travel.
God said he'd be with us, Ellen. And he is faithful who hath promised.
Amen.
This was the year, 1853, when Commodore Perry sailed into Tokyo Bay. He carried a letter from President Fillmore demanding that the Japanese stop jailing crews from shipwrecked Yankee whaling vessels and open up ports to trade. The world was becoming more accessible, and believers in present truth would increasingly be called to travel. The first stop was Michigan.